It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. I am the founder and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store, here in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown, just a block up from Wenzel's, next door to the Delta Bike Project. And our phone number is 251-255-5155. You can call us, get consultation, ask questions, check on your favorite products. Just say hi or listen to the hold music, which we all agree is pretty cool. Also, our website is www.cannabama.com. That's C-A-N-N-A. BAMA.com. You can order online and read about us, message us, look at maps, hours, all that good stuff. See our history. And we are in the process of creating a completely new revamped website in the next couple months because everything that we did was 2.5 years ago. It's time, something new. Got to update. It's been a lot going on. In 2.5 years.
There has been a lot going on in the last 2.5 years.
There's a whole lot going on. So anyway, real quick before we introduce our guest, Sergio's with me again tonight as co-host. Say hi.
Aloha.
So we got, I know last week we kind of unveiled a lot of the plans for 420. We got our first sponsor today. And they paid. Super excited about that part. And we got a couple of vendors that have paid. Thank you very much.
So we do appreciate, obviously, that. Like, this is going to be cool because it's always the first ones that kind of like we're not sure if like this is even a good idea. And
right.
then people start to kind of catch on. It's like, oh, this is
jumping
something that's
on board.
Happening.
Yes, this is going to be big with or without enough sponsors.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I kind of get excited just talking about it. Just like saying, hey, man, like. We're going to make this happen. It's going to happen just because.
Right. Every time I start to list all the things that are going to be there. And we can announce the musical guests. They're going to be Big Lex, Taki, and this guy. I am so obsessed with this guy. He's adorable. And I say adorable. I think I saw that his 30th birthday was yesterday. So he is not a child, but he is precious.
Oh, he's very talented.
But he is an incredibly talented violinist. I've seen him playing guitar. I think I saw him singing or heard him singing. I mean, he's amazing, but he is so entertaining, and I'm so excited to get him on board.
And, of course, like you said, Big Lex, who's, like, everywhere. She's been everywhere right now, and she's signed with King Entertainment.
Right, she's and making movies.
She's producing
she's
her own music.
She's producing everything.
Very,
right,
yeah.
Yes, she
and,
is. She's
and then
a
we
female
have,
rapper, and she's so smart, and happens to be a very close friend of mine.
And she wears glasses, so, you know, we're all partial
right?
glasses because, you know.
Because everyone in the room, well, not Phil, but Phil, you need some glasses. But anyway.
You can get them from Walmart.
Yeah, so we've got Big Lex, we've got Taki. We've got
Red and the Revelers.
Red and the Revelers,
and
who
they
happen to sing the Cannabama Queen song. On the hold music, if you call.
if you call, you listen to Red.
And Red was one of my first customers in Satsuma.
Mm.
Yep, and a long time ago. And he was so pumped to see a cannabis business open in Alabama, and he was very enthusiastic. So I've
definitely,
always appreciated
that's,
that.
That's how we met, was at the first 420 event, well, for his single release for Randy
right.
the Suggestion.
Yeah,
so we were organizing that one, and that was a lot of fun.
420 coming full circle.
Yes. From one tiny little venue to now trying to figure out how
filling
we're going to make
park.
A park happen. Yeah.
Yes, and so then we have Ballastella.
Ballastella is going to be our house band.
Yes.
Yeah, so and they're going to be just playing a lot of different music that you might know, some that you might not. Like, these guys are insane. Like, they can read each other as far as music goes for so well, and like the bass player plays a 5-string bass, and so if you know much about music, you know that they do ridiculously more than they should, but it's
right.
still fantastic.
Right, it's a good
so,
show.
Yeah, it is.
It's a real good show. So we've got a bunch of stuff planned. Is there somebody I'm forgetting? I feel like there's a fifth one.
There was one that we just added.
Oh, Jay Haynes.
Jay Haynes.
Jay Haynes. And
Jay Haynes is fantastic.
But I trust my two dudes that are helping me with the music.
Yeah, so actually Jay Haynes was on a show that we had called The Showcase right before COVID started.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our first hip-hop artist that we had on there. And he, dude, his flow, he's clean, he's smooth. He's, you know, his words are very advocate, like feeling, like mm-hmm. bound, and like, he's just, he's very intellectual. Yes, very. Mm-hmm. And he's fun. He's a lot of fun. His beats, his music, I want to say that he creates most of them as well. So, yeah. You know, we got a lot of talent coming on the stage. So, I mean, and again, we're talking so much about the music, but it's not even just about the music.
Right. The music is just there to have a cool soundtrack in the background.
Exactly.
The fun is in the contest, the panel, mm-hmm. the face painting and the funnel cakes.
The mural.
And the mural, the chalk mural, and the doggy, you know, treats mm-hmm. and the free stuff.
You're going to be able to leave with nothing and come, like, or come with nothing, leave with everything.
Oh, yeah. We're like, even going to give you a bag to put it all in.
Exactly. Well, mainly because, again,
we don't want any bags.
Don't bring your bags. Keep your bags in your cars. Well, keep your bags at home. Unless you need, like, your cards, keep that in your pockets
especially,
and stuff.
Especially given the incredible amount of violence that went on in Mobile this weekend. I know we don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
Right now, but come
on,
y'all.
And our prayers go out to their families and everybody.
I mean, I think it's 5 people died.
Yeah. But this is a way for us to be able to at least kind of come together and say, hey, you know, it may seem like there's nowhere else to go from this, but obviously, you know, if we can kind of come together, especially as people are starting to kind of release themselves back into the world.
Right.
And so this is a really cool way that we can just kind of communicate with each other, build a community. And I mean, there's already so many people that do this in secret.
Right.
So we want to, again, normalize the conversation.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's get into it. Tonight, our guest is Antoine Mordecai. Antoine Mordecai Sr. He is CEO of Native Black Farm in Bessemer, Alabama. And he is the Alabama State Director for Minorities for Medical Marijuana. Antoine, are you there with us?
Here, yes, I am.
Welcome.
How you doing, cannabis family?
Hello, sir.
We are so excited to have you because we love to talk to Alabama farmers, especially because we want to highlight not only the benefits of cannabis, but the agricultural implications and the jobs, the financial implications, all of that matters. And so we're excited to have you here today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into the cannabis industry real quick.
All right. How I kind of got into the cannabis industry, it all started as an idea in college. Did some research on it. Did a research paper, learned a lot of, busted a lot of myths that was told to me about cannabis. And at that point, I just kind of started to continue to educate myself. And then when I saw that Alabama had the They had the Alabama Hemp Pilot Program after the 2018 Farm Bill was signed. I kind of started to dove into it a little more, but I didn't necessarily step off into the industry as of yet. I just continued to do my research, continue to try to find out the lane that I kind of want to introduce, and just continue to study and to advance my education when it came to cannabis. And then when COVID happened, I think COVID kind of was a blessing and a curse for a lot of folks. It forced me to be able to readjust and refocus and just kind of figure out what it is that I wanted for me and myself and where my value kind of lay in the spectrum of things. And that's when I went ahead and started Native Black Farm, Native Black Enterprise, LLC, but operating as Native Black Farm. And that's when I started the business and started to find me some land, end up finding me about 10 acres out in Bessemer for the purpose of hemp cultivation and just kind of got my start from there.
Right. I think I remember talking to you once a long time ago, a year plus, maybe longer than that, when you were first getting off the ground. Like, I don't even
That's
know
right.
if you were actually growing yet. And,
That's right.
And you were like, I don't really have anything to show for my work yet, but I'm working hard, you know? And I can remember thinking, oh, that's such a daunting thought because you are at the front end of the process and I'm at the end, you know, the boots on the ground stage. And mm-hmm. so I have no concept of what it even means to grow, especially in a place like Alabama. And so I the thought of it, because I can't grow tomatoes. We laugh about it a lot. I can't grow anything. I read a meme that said, I'm not really a gray thumb so much as I am like a plant hospice worker. Like, it's a long, slow death, but I try really hard to make it painless.
mm-hmm.
So I can't even imagine what it's like to go from being a college student and out in the working world and then go, I'm going to be a farmer. You know, I'm going to farm. And don't you farm hydroponically?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, to kind of leave, I'm still in the engineering world, but to kind of step outside of my normal traditional job and to be a farmer. And I consider farming being like the most highest level of ultimate entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, Antoine, we will pick up with that because that's a very important place to stop. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Sergio Rangel as my co-host, and we're talking to a farmer in Bessemer, Alabama, Antoine Mordecai, who is the CEO of Native Black Farms and the Alabama State Director, I don't want to get it wrong, of the Minorities for Medical Marijuana. Before the break, Antoine, you were talking about how you got into farming and sort of started learning about it and all that good stuff. Let's pick up where we left off and tell us a little bit about how you, initiated the process. We were talking about going down a rabbit hole whenever you start learning about cannabis. I think that I find that a lot of people are like that because it was the same for me. I started learning and I could not stop myself.
Yeah. So kind of how I got started, once I did my research paper and learned all the different benefits of cannabis and kind of just started to learn more about the autonomy of it, the uses of it, how it made the paper and things like that, how it used to be one of the number one crops in the United States until a certain point in time. And I just kind of continued to go down that hole. Then I got the question like, let me see what Alabama got going on with cannabis.
Right.
And this was shortly after the 2018 Farm Bill got signed.
Okay.
And I learned about that. I'm like, oh, wow, this is a cool little program. But I didn't necessarily jump right off into the program when I first learned about it just due to my traditional job as a engineer. Didn't want to necessarily, derail my life through the cannabis and my interest. So I just kind of held the horses back for a little bit. And then, we got attacked by COVID and everything kind of just unfolded and got refocused.
Right.
And kind of just went down that hole and took the risk.
Just
took a risk as I continued to educate myself and became more confident in it and understanding the risk that I was taking in the position that I was going to have to put myself in. I felt like the time was now. And
absolutely.
I ended up taking that chance.
Well, and it's funny because I don't think any of us knew, even though we knew there was risk, I don't think any of us really understood the reality of being in it until we were in it.
That's right.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I come up against some brick walls.
What an exciting time.
Especially financially, though. You know, when it comes to getting funding and all that stuff, man, it's like, forget about it.
Yeah. And that finance, that's a total other conversation in itself to really kind of get everything started. As of right now, I use 100% of my funds to do everything that I kind of got going on. I had put myself in position, use my life savings, as folks say most farmers do, to really kind of get everything rolling. But, I believed in myself that much, and I understood the level of entrepreneurship that was going to come with it and the position I was putting myself in,
Absolutely.
In that time, I had to bet on myself.
You know what? Same. I had no career for all of my adult life. I was a college student at 22, with a half a music degree 20 years ago, and then fast forward 20 years, no job experience, didn't finish the degree, and didn't even have much of a life, and now I'm going to open a cannabis business in the state of Alabama. Oh, and no one's ever done it before, and I'm a woman, and all the other, I get it.
Yep.
Every obstacle you could possibly put in front of a new entrepreneurship kind of endeavor, we have all those roadblocks and more. So one of the things we're struggling with this event is getting an insurance company to give us $1 million policy for a 4-hour event in downtown. That's the linchpin right now because we're cannabis and they think we're high risk. So we're working that out. But yeah, that's why we haven't gone full force on our social media launch, because
that's why we're glad to be able to at least have the conversation, though, because like the more we have these conversations, the more normal it'll be. Like, oh, you want a cannabis fit? Cool. It'll be like check mark boxes like they do with like alcohol and stuff.
Right. I'm like, so they give you the option. Are you going to sell alcohol or not? No.
Yeah. Like
that should make it less high risk, because most events have some sort of alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about your hydroponic farming. Tell us what that even means. This hydroponic word is new to my audience, so go. I'm going to give you full range.
Still new to me too. So.
All right, so pretty much how I tell folks, I'm not your traditional farmer. In most aspects, I look at it as a farm of the future, just due to the fact traditional farmers grow out of the soil. They use the nutrients from the soil, or they may use fertilizer to put the nutrients back in it. Mm-hmm. But that's not where my expertise landed at, where a lot of my studies led me to. A lot of my studies led me to hydroponics, which allow for you to have a base reference. You use different mediums for what's going to hold the roots versus soil. So.
Right.
One of the mediums is like rock wool, or you can use cocoa core or a perlite and things like that. And you're able to feed the plants hydroponically with just water and getting nutrients straight to the root to be able to provide the plant for exactly what it is that it needs, whichever point in the cycle of its lifespan that it's in.
So essentially you're regulating the growth of the plant.
That's correct.
That's cool.
It sounds so clean.
That's correct.
Clean,
it's mildly controlled with how I'm doing it now, but my ultimate goal is to be able to be in a complete 100% controlled environment where I can be able to introduce and control everything that's in it. But with the hemp farming and just kind of getting to it, it's mildly controlled, but it's still acceptable to outside conditions.
Yeah, okay.
But it sounds so clean, too.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be like, I mean, have you produced a crop yet?
I have.
Okay.
And I had my first harvest last year, and it was really good. The strand that I had was cherry wine, which I ultimately ended up growing that one due to that was one of the most popular CBD strains at the time in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And I was able to produce a really good crop. I was able to get up my CBD content within the range of 17%.
Awesome.
And didn't come out of the hot plant. The bud profile of it was really good. Oh, that's what I forgot to mention. I cultivate CBD for the purpose of smokable CBD flower.
Okay.
I have no, I can press it into like oils and things like that, but that's not ultimately my goal. I like to be able to produce premium quality cannabis to those, to my consumers, and also education.
I was just reading about how the trend is now, because the market is so saturated and farms are producing this subpar biomass, that these farms are now, some of the less reputable ones are churning out this subpar biomass, and they're creating other products like Delta 8 and THCA and THCO and things like that with these subpar products to get rid of them, rather than putting out a good bud product. And that the wave of the future is these highly potent and super boutique, like specialty smokable flower, is where it's at. That we won't ever have too much of that.
That's right. That's right. And that's kind of what I focus on, producing the best premium quality, cannabis that you can possibly find out here, especially in the realm of hemp and CBD, when it comes out to bud structure, smell, terpene profile, make sure you get that good entourage effect, make sure that it serves those benefits that you need for it to serve for, and make sure it's a good, clean smoke for you.
Absolutely.
You'll return back.
Right, because the average consumer at the end of the day, all they know is it smells good, it tastes good, and I feel good.
So what kind of got you to like kind of figuring out, hey, this is where I want to go as far as like you said hydroponics, you landed on that, but then how long did you have to grow for? How long, like, what did you have to learn before you started growing? Like, I mean, was it your first crop? Was that the one that you started with, or like did you have like another failed crop before that, or what was that kind of like?
I happen to be really good at my research and the skills and the knowledge that I have developed throughout the years of studying cannabis. Last year was actually my first hand at trying.
So you knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
And that style to really test my theory to see if it works.
So Antoine got chops.
Works, however, I can make some fine tweaks to it to be able to make it amazing.
Very cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, because I mean, well, that's like making sure you don't go in half-cocked, I guess that's right. The phrase is just to make sure you have an understanding of it, especially since you said that you're putting your own funds into it. So you want to make sure that your research is solid, because you're not spending, I mean, X dollar amount. I mean, probably, I guess, more than $5,000 to put into a grow. So, I mean, you don't want to spend that much more than one time. Like,
right.
So, and obviously research is free, essentially, depending on, like, the type of schooling that you do.
So, well, because the only research really, I mean, there's medical research out there. But then when you're talking about growing, I mean, Antoine, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is information out there. There are people out there that are teaching other growers how to grow. There is information, but I don't know how in-depth it gets. And then there are a lot of con artists.
What kind of obstacles did you kind of go through as far as, like, your research, even before getting to the grow process? Like, I mean,
the obstacles that I ran into with research, I didn't really run into many questions. I kind of knew where to look. And I was able to kind of be a sponge and soak up certain things when I was in certain rooms and around certain folks to be able to have certain conversations. So the research aspect, it really wasn't tough. It was, the question was, will it work?
Right.
When you get to test that theory, and that was kind of, you know, the strategy that went into, you know, getting the greenhouse that I have and trying to make sure that I'm able to produce a quality product with also putting my own money into it, necessarily not expecting anything back. My very first harvest, you need to expect a complete bust,
because it can go that
way really quick just due to the inexperience.
Right, right. And I think a lot of farmers, especially the ones that I've known in Alabama, some of them have been farming all their lives, but they've never farmed hemp.
Cannabis
and
I think
a lot of them suffered from some pride and didn't do their due diligence, and because they just thought, well, I'm a farmer, I could farm. And it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. So the quality is affected.
One unique thing I can say about the method and how I cultivate, with the way and style that I cultivate and the techniques that I use, I can pretty much cultivate any crop. My crop of choice just happens to be hemp.
Right, right, right. I know a business in Birmingham that I think it's called Urban Farms, and they are perfecting a hydroponic farm set up where you can literally have it in the, you know, in a container, you know, outside of your restaurant and serve, you know, fresh vegetables and things that you're growing yourself. And I got to see it because they also do pre-roll processing. So in the process of them helping me make some pre-rolls, I got to hang out with them for a couple of days and see these vegetables all over, and they're in PVC pipe and stuff. It's very cool to look at because they had the lights and everything. It was really neat. And they weren't actually growing cannabis, but they had lettuce and they had all kind of other neat stuff. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Antoine about advocacy and NFT/crypto, which I am a complete idiot at. So come back to laugh at me. We'll be right back after the break.
Back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store in downtown. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street. Phone number is 251-255-5155. And the website is www.cannabama.com. That's C-A-N-N-A-B-A-M-A. I think I could say that in my sleep, that the little spiel I just did.
Well, yeah, you can say World Wide Web, and I guess it's like the same amount.
I hate saying www. All right, back to Antoine. Antoine, you are the Alabama State Director for Minorities for Medical Marijuana. Tell us about this organization.
All right, this organization is phenomenal. It's a national organization. Well, we're international now. I believe we have a chapter in Canada. But it's a national organization that was found to be able to provide advocacy, research, and study and encourage minorities to participate in the upcoming cannabis industry here in the United States. And they have amazing programs, so it's like a sponge program. They have a program they call Sow the Land that pretty much introduce you to hemp farmers and folks that's into the hemp space and to get to learn more about that while offering a wealth of other opportunities and educational facts about cannabis. And myself, I've been involved in the organization for a couple years now, actually.
Okay.
But they didn't have a chapter here in Alabama.
Right.
And, so that's kind of when I decided to found a chapter here after kind of getting involved in, I guess you can call it the political process, the advocacy process, advocating for cannabis and the medical marijuana bill that we currently have signed. Now, I had got the opportunity to speak in front of the Alabama Health Committee that they should support the bill that we currently have.
Wow, that's awesome. I had no idea. That's very cool. Was it intimidating or was it?
It was very intimidating. And I'm going to have to describe the level of intimidation.
Go ahead. Tell us how it was because I haven't gotten the pleasure.
All right. So as a young black man, a minority here in the state of Alabama, I'm already a minority.
Right.
But once I entered that room to really see who are the folks that is having the discussion and the conversation around cannabis and who those are signing off on and making the rules, I was highly discouraged once I entered that room to notice the lack of representation that we had.
100%.
A lot of the folks in there was older. I don't mean offending those. They was older white men and women.
Right.
Some still thought that cannabis was the gateway drug, the devil's lettuce, and different things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was simply there just to be able to support, to be there for the farmers and making sure that minorities are able to participate in this process and benefit economically from this new industry that they are building here in the state of Alabama.
Right. I have had the privilege of meeting and befriending all but one that I know of the black farmers, the black hemp farmers in Alabama. Joe May, Drew Van Hoos, you. I mean, there's not many, but everybody that I have met have been mind-blowingly awesome people. And so, and I call them all friends now. And I, as a woman, you know, it's hard for me, but I can't even, you know, that's nothing compared to being like one of what? How many? Do you know how many black farmers there are in Alabama? Is there five?
I don't even know how many are actually in the hemp and cannabis space. A lot of them not as loud and as vocal as me.
I think there's a guy down here somewhere. Oliver Washington, I think, is his name. And then Joe May is in Birmingham. And then
I'd love to connect with them.
Huh?
I'd love to connect with them.
Oh, I would love to introduce you. They are the coolest. I told him the first time I met him in person, I told him I did not believe he was a farmer because his Jordans were too clean. But and then there's Drew Van Hoos, who you had to have met at the Libertarian Party convention, right? Did you meet Drew? Little tiny Drew?
Yes, I did. She's been awesome.
She is so great. I just absolutely. She came down, spent the whole day and night, and we did the show. And she brought her master gardener Faye, and we had a ball.
So you were talking about the decriminalization and everything. So what kind of conversation was it that you were kind of, other than just the obstacles of seeing like cannabis being a gateway drug and stuff, like how did you overcome some of those questions? I mean, obviously that you were berated with.
Are you talking about the decriminalization bill or marijuana bill?
Both. I mean, even both. I mean, just but.
I think he's talking about when you were in the room with all those old, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously
that was the medical marijuana bill.
Yeah. Did they take you seriously?
Really, just speaking and sticking to the plan.
Okay, right. so not just like getting wrapped up what they're saying, but just the cold hard facts.
That's right. Speaking that from the aspect where I was speaking from, my mother, my auntie, all dealt with breast cancer, and my auntie ended up beating breast cancer with the help of cannabis, but
that's
also
awesome.
Ended up coming back and consuming her life. And
wow,
my mother,
so
she was the one that taught me that cannabis was the gateway drug. You know, being raised on the west side of Chicago, I've seen a lot in the war on drugs. But
right.
After I got my education, became more intelligent about it, educated about cannabis. And my mother had to go through her journey with breast cancer.
Right.
Her perspective and trajectory, her outlook on cannabis has also changed. That helped her to be able to ultimately overcome cancer herself.
Wow. I'm so sorry for your loss.
That's incredible that
my dad died too.
You're able to like take something that's so horrific. I mean, essentially, you know, just to turn it around and say this is for everybody. Like, I mean, it's not something right. that is so exclusive to just one body type or one type of person, but everybody can like really do something about
it. Right, and it is the matter of life and death. It really is.
Well, a lot of folks it is.
Right, and I imagine sometimes in those scenarios, those people on the other side of the table that are staring at you, probably 10 or 15 thick, I think sometimes their goal is to gunk up what you're trying to do with so many irrelevant questions or even purposefully stupid comments to get you off your game, to chase that rabbit, whatever. So it is a huge challenge and very intimidating.
We all love drama.
It's very intimidating to get up there and make sure you make all your points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely. Kudos to that.
And honestly, you're probably a better person than me because because at one point I would just look over and go, are you serious? Really? Because I just, my temper.
But
So tell us a little bit about how people can get involved with Minorities for Medical Marijuana.
I highly encourage folks, if you are interested or just want to check us out and see what it is we got going on, you can go Google us at minoritiesformedicalmarijuana.org. That'll take you to our national website. And also, if you want to keep up with what we got going on here in the state of Alabama, you can follow the Facebook group page at M4MM Alabama Chapter.
Okay.
It's free as of right now, and to be able to join the mailing list and to be able to stay up to date on everything.
Right, and you can probably also get some sort of connection from your Facebook and your Native Black Farm website?
That's correct, yes. You can follow me on nativeblackfarm.com. That would be the website, and you can find me on LinkedIn at Antoine Mordekin.
Okay, great. That sounds good. Well, do you guys have anything coming down the pike as far as, I know you helped with the discussion panel at the Afro-Men event for the Libertarian Party a few weeks ago. Is there anything else that you guys are going to be attending or participating in that people can maybe meet you in person?
Yeah, we got a few things going on. So those that are interested in meeting virtually, I'm looking to host a town hall meeting here in the next couple weeks to a month, just kind of giving updates on the status of cannabis, the commission, and hemp in the state of Alabama, just being able to connect with other organizations to be able to provide some good, meaningful information to the Alabamians. Then also in the upcoming future, April 23rd, I'll be at the Georgia World Cannabis Conference. I'll be one of the keynote speakers in Atlanta.
Wow. I didn't know they were having something in Atlanta in April.
Yeah, they actually got a few events that's going to be in Atlanta. I also got another invitation to speak at the Southeastern Medical Cannabis and Hemp Convention.
Oh, wow. Maybe shoot me some information about both of those because I'd like to attend.
Awesome. We'll do. I got a flyer. It should already be on our M4MM Alabama Chapter Facebook page. It has dates about all the upcoming conferences that we're going to be in and participating at for those that want to just be involved or those that want to attend any cannabis-related conference or convention. You'll be able to find it on the Facebook page.
I was looking at this Cannabis Business Licensing Boot Camp. So
yeah, that's coming out of Michigan.
That's awesome. So y'all are all these different things that are happening in different states. Are these just exclusive to those states? Are they trying to make it more inclusive to other states as well? Just trying to find the manpower to do it.
Yeah, if you can get there, it's in most cases each state has their own state director that kind of helps orchestrate a lot of that work there.
Okay, very cool.
I'm doing a lot of work here in the state of Alabama to be able to bring programs like that to Alabama and also me educating Alabamians on what it is we have going on in cannabis in general. So
how do you make that more accessible to people in like this area as far as like, you know, you getting those types of educational formats and platforms here? Like what do we have to do to make that happen?
My organization is able to do that, but it's going to be critical that I partner up and unify with other organizations to be able to put these kind of events on. And ultimately, just participation for those that are kind of curious, those that just want to learn, or those that want to get involved in the process, even if it's, you know, as a patient, as a business owner, as a cultivator processor, we have a network of people that you can be able to connect with in the space.
Right, and I would love to see that unity because, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard our our basic motto or our basic stance on things is educate, advocate, unify, and celebrate, because we're educating, we're advocating, but unification is so important. And more minorities and women should be in the cannabis space, especially in a backwards place like Alabama. Why not just dust up all of the mess?
I wish you could.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think, you know, anytime, you know, if this wasn't clear before, anytime you have an event or something that you need participation or unification with, you give us a holler first.
Which is interesting.
I definitely will. I appreciate that invitation, because I definitely will call you up on that for the town hall.
Okay. And I'd love to have you participate in any of the future panels that we're planning for May, June, and July. When we come back, we're going to talk about crypto. Yeah.
Money.
I'm scared. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. Here's your final segment of Sweet Home Cannabama tonight. We're speaking with Antoine Mordecai Sr., CEO of Native Black Farm, and the Alabama State Director for Minorities for Medical Marijuana. And, you know, we've talked about farming and getting started in cannabis and all these things. Now, you're doing something that, I've seen a couple of people sort of start dabbling in, and it's completely out of my wheelhouse, but you are working with an NFT crypto project. So I'm going to kind of let you take the reins on explaining what that even means.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So I have a NFT project, which stands for non-fungible token. NFT, to be able to really understand NFT, you have to be off into the cryptocurrency space.
Right.
And to be off in the cryptocurrency space pretty much is like a decentralized coin that you're able to make investments that way. So I know a lot of folks may have heard of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin, which are some of the top coins as of right now.
Right.
So NFTs, to be able to play in the NFT realm, you need to be well-versed in Ethereum, because that's the blockchain that it uses to be able to document the ledger of all the transactions and the original creator of the NFT.
Okay.
So NFT stands for non-fungible token. The best way to describe it is crypto art. So let's say you know Picasso. When he originally painted the Picasso painting, whichever one it was, and when he went to sell it, he maybe sold it for $4,000, and now it's being auctioned off at millions of dollars.
Right.
Picasso don't get any royalties off of those future transactions because he's no longer owner of
right.
But the unique thing about NFTs, it allows for creators to continue to collect royalties on every time their NFT is sold or it's on a transaction on the blockchain.
Okay.
So the unique thing about NFTs, it allows for the creators to be able to get paid, to be able to create a unique community around stunning artwork, and ultimately being able to provide a wealth of unlimited things that you can do with NFTs. And that'll be another conversation when you get into like Web 3.0, the metaverse, and all that good stuff that we have coming in the future.
Right.
That's where you really see the applications of NFTs in the metaverse.
Okay, yeah, because I'm thinking,
decentralized.
What is the point of that, though? Yeah.
Decentralized currency.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I've seen it more and more and more. And I've had several people tell me, you need to get into crypto, and I'm like, what does that even mean? It's not like saying you need to get into the bathtub. You know, I know what that is.
Yeah, you just want to start collecting a couple coins of at least some Bitcoin, I'll say.
I mean, you did explain it. I understood a little bit of it, but you definitely made it sound a little bit easier and simple.
Yes.
So that was good.
Yeah, so I'd like to speak to the project that I have going, which is called the Grow Guys Club. And the Grow Guys Club, you can currently find us now on Instagram and Twitter and Reddit at Grow Guys Club.
Okay.
All right. The unique thing about this NFT is myself and three other cannabis cultivators here in the United States. We got one cultivator out in Massachusetts. Then we have another cultivator. He's a head holder culture, and he's a genius when it comes to cannabis. He calls himself the real cannabis scientist, and he really is a cannabis scientist. And then we have another grower out of Oregon, and then we have myself here in Alabama, and I cultivate hemp. We got one that's in recreation. We have another cultivator that's in the medical. So we're pretty much touching all on the cannabinoid spectrum
right.
of the industry when it comes to cultivation.
Right.
And the unique thing about this NFT is that we're creating community around education and the best cannabis cultivation practices.
So that essentially means like how you do things as far as your hydroponics and everything. If you cultivate any like new types of processes or anything like that, you can turn it into an NFT, and then anytime it's used, then you would get funds or you know, a royalty. Little bit of royalty off of that creation from somebody else.
That's right. That's right. So our NFT, what it is that we'll be offering to our NFT holders will be our art. So
very
the
cool,
unique thing
cool.
about our digital art is that we're going to be using, it's going to tell the journey, it's going to capture the journey of each cultivator and tell their story through the NFT. So you'll get, every image will be unique, and it'll be a real-life photo. It won't be like kind of how you have your apes in space and your board yacht ape club and all that other kind of stuff. Your members are familiar with those NFT projects.
Nope.
This NFT will speak directly to the cultivators and being able to create community and to be able to connect with respectable cultivators that's in the industry. And you know, the cannabis industry is maybe less than 1%, you know, minorities that's in this space. And you have an NFT group of black cultivators that's all coming together to be able to create community around education and cannabis cultivation and just create an environment where folks can be able to connect and network.
Which is cool because obviously that means that if they're there, they want to be a part of it rather than just, you know, hoping that you're going to target a specific amount of people that you might reach. These people
That's
are there
right.
to learn and, like, understand what it is.
Yep, and it's open to everyone. If anybody kind of curious or anybody that's just, if you want to come to invest. Mm-hmm. Another unique thing about the project, too, you'll hold a piece of history once you hold these NFTs. You're a unique owner of the NFT. And we'll be offering very unique utilities with our NFTs, and we'll have different tiers of those NFTs. So, for example, our top tier will be Grow God tier. And the example what that one of the utilities, well, a lot of the utilities you'll get with the Grow God tier, you would either be able to rename a strand or develop a strand with your designated cultivator. You and five of your friends will be able to get the tour of cannabis cultivation facilities. You'll get merchandise, sample package. You'll get a home grow kit with educational videos on how to cultivate. You'll get 5 hours of cannabis consultation from your respected cultivator. You'll also get a physical copy of the NFT while receiving the companion digital copy of the NFT.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That
is so much more than I thought you were going to say.
Well, I mean, like it's really cool because I mean,
I want some.
It's essentially just like networking, but through the computer and just like, you know, just to where you don't necessarily have to be there, but you can learn all this stuff. It's college without college.
Well, I love that though, because
that's right, and you're able to connect with folks that are actually in the industry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Respectful feedback and be able to connect with those for certain questions that you may have, so that you're not getting robbed by some guy that's saying he's a master cannabis cultivator when he has no credentials to say.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a whole lot simpler to be in this space if you have at least a couple of friends, people that are doing what you're doing, that have the same goals, that have their own areas of expertise, because we're all new.
Mm-hmm.
We're all new, you know. I mean, 90% of the industry is new people.
And so have all the laws. They're relatively new, too, within the last 100 years, which
well,
is insane.
Right. And Antoine, you mentioned the 2018 Farm Bill. I knew the summer before that I opened my business because there was an Alabama agricultural law that said industrial hemp is excluded from the definition of marijuana and therefore not a controlled substance. And so I went to the DEA, I went to local law enforcement, I went to a couple of lawyers, and I said, hey, can I go to jail? And they're like, no. So I actually opened 4 months before the Farm Bill was signed. that's how I was
that's
first out of the gate.
That foresight.
Well, because, you know, and I had that law blown up on the wall.
Yes.
Because my first location was the corner of a hair salon in Satsuma, a block from the police station. and it was a dead end. So they had to come back and forth, back and forth, back and forth all day long. And then my partner at the time, you know, it was her hair salon. We had sheriffs come in and get their hair cut, you know, and they would sit there and look at all my hemp products. And this was 2018, you know, the fall of 2018. It was an incredibly exciting and yet scary time. But, you know, I kept saying, can I go to jail? Can I go to jail? Nope, nope, nope. Okay, then that's all I need to know.
But then you start the conversation, and that's cool.
Yes.
The confusion is like, what is that? What is that face? Well, you got their plants there that look like they could be illegal.
Well, I'm very confident that I was the first person in Alabama to sell smokable flower, because the person who claims that wasn't even open for business for a month and a half after I started. But I kept them under the counter. I kept pre-rolls under the counter. I was so scared of what people were going to think. And I knew who was cool and who wasn't. And so, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I was out there by myself, and I don't ever want to do that again.
Well, that's the beauty of what everything's happening, especially with what Antoine's talking about, is that nobody ever has to really feel alone anymore.
Right,
and
right.
You can feel like you're a part of something. And that's really the biggest thing about humanity, is the connection and understanding to somehow connect with each other and creating that, again, community. I'm going to say that again. I'm probably going to
and we're talking
out.
About the growth of something we all need. Antoine, at the end of the show, tell us again where we can find you online.
Okay. You can find me at LinkedIn at Antoine Mordekin. You can find me at nativeblackfarm.com for Native Black Farm website. You can also follow Minorities for Medical Marijuana organization. If you're a member of Alabama and want to get involved in what we have going on here in Alabama, you can join the M4MM Alabama Facebook page. And also, if you're interested in to learn more about NFTs and the best practice of cannabis cultivation, feel free to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at GrowGuideClub for my handler for Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you so much, Antoine, for being here. We are out of time. This was really eye-opening. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back soon, y'all. We'll see you next week.